We're calling it Manifesting Magical Moments, and it's embracing the extraordinary in the everyday life, which I just love because you don't have to have the picture-perfect life to have those little moments.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. It's going to be a fun one today. Today we have Kels the Kiwi. Kels, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty darn awesome. Thank you for asking.
And we are going to talk about what everyone, I think, loves to talk about. At least you love to talk about it when you were a kid, and that is magic, right? So, Kels, could you share with us how your childhood in New Zealand shaped your early experiences with anxiety and depression? And how did these experiences influence your path towards mental health advocacy?
Oh, thank you. That's a really good question. Oh, gosh, growing up in New Zealand, it feels like such a long time ago now, not just because I'm not a spring chicken anymore, although I feel like a kid at heart and I'm forever going to hold on to that. It's because I moved away from New Zealand 12 years ago. So it kind of like takes me a moment to put myself back there. But when I think about my time in New Zealand, and I don't think I even knew it was anxiety or depression. I don't think any kid really understands that for themselves. But I think like a lot of people who grow up in those times, like it wasn't the storybook kind of upbringing I had. I wasn't beaten up or anything like that. I didn't have an abusive household. There was just a lack of sharing about how you're feeling inside and holding stuff in. So my own experiences with my family, it was all more conflict, more like, let's just take each other apart. Let's just not come together as a united front. I guess without saying anything, like, be mean to each other. And I didn't know how to take that as a young child. Like, what do you do with that? Like sitting at the table and everybody's just being mean to one another. And I can remember just looking around going, I don't really want to partake in this, but I feel like I'm going to get picked on if I don't. So I actually became somebody I, even to this day, is like, I just want to say sorry to a lot of people because I wasn't true to myself. And I was felt like I was almost not forced. No one held a gun to my head to make me be this way. But it just was such a, like, I had to fit in. The anxiety started there because, like, everybody's acting a certain way. And I didn't inherently feel that because I felt like I was a good person deep down. And so the little magical sprinkles even in life back then, the little things I would do to get myself out of that mindset, which when I look back was so sweet, like taking little notebook and going on little ventures around the outside of the house, finding magical flowers, and kind of like just really enacting something that wasn't there, like a little fantasy world. So that's what got me through. But it's so sad that it took me actually leaving New Zealand when I was older and going to live in the UK for a bit to make me realize that that wasn't normal. That wasn't how it's supposed to be. So yeah, I don't know if that kind of...
Yeah, it does. Like, I mean, you said I didn't know how to deal with people being mean. Like, what kid knows how to deal with anyone being mean, but let alone their family members?
Yeah, it was such a struggle that really the first time I left home was really to get away from that. I thought I wanted adventures. And yes, I love to travel. Us Kiwis and our big OE, our overseas experience, it's really a big, huge part of us. But for me, it was like I inherently knew that I needed to see what was different in life to see what I had kind of, I don't want to say missed out on, but in a way I did, to see what really is out there. And that really opened my eyes. The anxiety and depression had already formulated. So I had those new experiences with that within me, but also even more of awareness of what doesn't feel true to me to be in this state. It really, really didn't.
So when you say you're sitting around the family dinner table and everyone's mean, does that include your parents?
Oh, that specifically, yeah. I don't want to like really throw anybody under the bus. I know everybody can say it goes back to your childhood. And honestly, it really does how we're formulated. Like we're a product of our experiences, right, at a young age. But it was more, my parents divorced, so I lived predominantly with my mother. So it was my mother and stepfather. And it was always like there was one person that got picked on that night and everybody else bombarded them. It was kind of like a game. It felt like a game. And I didn't know any different. And then I always was like, yes, it's so not me tonight. Like, yeah, pick on my brother. Or when older, like have a big gap between my brother and sister, pick on my sister. Like it just, and then when it was my turn, I just shut down. Like I would kind of try and stand up for myself, but really had no, knowledge of what to do. And that obviously affected my self-worth, like don't speak up became my norm. And Now to be on this podcast, Brad, I have a voice. Yay.
Congratulations. Like it's awesome. You're overcoming this. So wow, there's so much here to unpack. This stuff is just so interesting to me. So you were put in a situation that no child should be in. People were mean to you, right? And so You had to shut down your emotions. You had to push them down because you couldn't say, mom and stepdad, this isn't right what you're doing to me. Please stop. Because what would that have gotten you? That would have probably gotten you more meanness, right?
Yeah.
So Dr. Gabor Mate, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a phenomenal doctor in the space. He's spent 40 years as a physician, but he also does a lot on the mental health side. And he talks about what happens when you depress emotions for years and years and years. It turns into depression. So it was just your brain formed depression and anxiety as a way to cope. That's how Kells got through her rough childhood, is by forming this depression anxiety. And yeah, when you checked out as a little girl, it was like you were trying to be in this imagination world that you talked about, because your world wasn't that safe and it wasn't that comfortable, right?
No, it wasn't. And it's a funny thing. I think once I had an awareness of it later in life, I could make peace with it or whatever, but it was still like, I just want to go back in time and hug that little girl and tell her it's not your fault. Like, wish we could actually do back all these experiences that we all go through, go back to that little child and say, it's going to be okay. Like, you're a tough nut, you shouldn't have to go through this, but you are, because there's always going to be bad experiences, right? But it's the outcome. And I think it's the main thing I've discovered with even talking with other people. It's once you have an awareness, when you're in that hole, you can't see a way out. But I always say, this is my little sprinkle of magic, because I'll keep doing that throughout this, is I can almost feel, and I can, oh, it's visceral right now. It's almost like you're lying down and you're in a tunnel, or there's some darkness and there's like a tiny little pinprick of light. And I say those little magical flurries, like as long as I could always see that tiny little pinprick of light, I knew everything was going to be okay. That was kind of like my little beautiful thread that held me into the world, because it was such a sad space that I was in. To even to pull myself out of it is quite an achievement for, and a lot of people go through this as well, but the awareness thing and seeing that little spark of magical hope.
Yeah. So Kells, you said, I wish I could go back and hug that little six-year-old girl. And guess what? You can. You can be the loving parent that you never had. And what I do in my practice with my clients is we actually will pick that little six-year-old girl up and we'll bring her into our world. Because every time that you feel a negative emotion, if you feel anger or sadness, it's hardly ever, ever, ever has to do with the actual situation. But it's that little girl inside of you feeling that way. It's going back to that little girl. So when you feel these emotions, you get to know that it's not your adult self. It is the child self in you, and you get to give her their love. So I developed something about a year ago called the Joy Regenerator. You can go get it for free at bradchandler.com/joy. It teaches you exactly how to process those emotions when they come up. And that's the way that you actually heal that inner child inside of you. So
I love that.
It's a beautiful thing. When you feel that negative emotion, you're in a fight or flight, right? Every single time.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You breathe and you get centered, and then you ask, what is it that I'm feeling? So I'm feeling sad. And then you're going to remember it's that little girl. So you can say to her out loud, it's okay, Kells, you're feeling sad. I have you. Instead of running or pushing him down, now you get to feel those emotions. And when you feel those emotions, they'll actually dissipate. The next step is to have some gratefulness around the situation. And we all have something to be grateful for. And then figure out where it came from. Well, in my situation, all of my sadness comes from this underlying thought that I'm not enough. So I ask myself, is that thought true? And immediately I'm like, no, I know I'm enough. So do I need to feel a sad emotion around a thought that's not even true? And the answer is no. So boom, you can just jump right back into joy. That's why we call it the Joy Regenerator. So go grab it if you'd like at bradchandler.com/joy. You said something earlier in the conversation that everyone likes to do, including myself. And that's like, we like to compare our childhoods, meaning that you're like, well, it wasn't that bad. It doesn't matter on a scale of whether you were locked in a cage or at the dinner table, you were mean. It's just, how did it affect you and how did it present to you, right? So you were affected a certain way. Some people may become a meth addict, right? From the same exact environment that you came through. So it's really interesting how we always want, because I did the same thing. I'm like, oh, it wasn't that bad. It doesn't matter how bad it was. It matters how it affected you, right?
Yeah, that's so true. And you got to stop yourself. It's a natural reaction to say that. But I do firmly believe that it's all relative. It's all what you're able to take in and handle in that time. And, you know, unfortunately, when we are younger, we don't have the capability. And we're looking to those people around us for guidance, that loving guidance. And if it isn't there in the way that a kid craves, then it's really hard to process that and know what to do with it.
Yeah. And how did this depression, anxiety affect your life as an adult?
Oh, goodness. In so many ways. I was married to a guy and we moved over here. We had two kids together and then we had another child over here. But I always look at that relationship. We've since divorced 6 years ago now. I always deferred to him for everything. Like I didn't have a voice, or when I felt like I was pushed down, minimalized, I got really angry, but I didn't know what to do with that anger or what it stemmed from. I just wanted to be heard and seen. So that really translated into how I was around my own children. Like I really kind of took a step back and let him do a lot of things, like not the day-to-day stuff. So I was there as a mom, like he worked and I stayed at home and stuff. But a lot of the decision-making I left to him, and it kind of just lost myself. So I was still like that little child at dinner table going, what the hell do I do? What do I say? Like, and would literally in a conversation, if you and I were out and I was with that husband, then I would have looked to him how to answer a question. It was so ridiculous, but that was the state that I was in, that I couldn't even talk easily on my own. It was that bad. And the only way I stopped that is a really crazy thing. And it's the only thing that I can think, really, if I try and dissect it, if there's even a way to, is when my dad died. When my dad died, it was like, the walls came down, or like the mist parted and you could see clearly. Wow. Like it was such a sudden shock to me, because he was like, I guess I was a daddy's girl or something. Like I didn't have the same relationship with him that I did with my mother. And so when I lost that, I kind of had to part whatever was in there that needed to be strong, needed to come rise to the surface, needed to be heard, was fully awakened. Like my dad passing was a blessing to me in a way. Like it's such a weird thing to say, but I feel it so strongly that I'm okay saying that. Like I'm grateful not to have lost my dad, but to have had that experience ignite something in myself. I think it was an incredible thing, and that changed the course of my life. It really did.
So you've used a couple words that I'm going to ask if we can reframe those words. So you used the word weird and you used the word ridiculous. And when you said both of those words, the word that comes to my mind is interesting. So weird and ridiculous is judging you. And there's nothing to judge, because you looking to your ex-husband to answer a question is not ridiculous. It was you just trying to survive, right? Because you were that little girl. Your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between time, right? And your subconscious mind controls your behavior. So even though you were taking away who you were as an authentic person, right? And that was painful to you. The underlying pain of like being that little girl whose feelings were hurt and she wasn't loved, you perceive that as even worse. So you continue doing that behavior. Do you find that interesting?
It's funny. I knew that I would do these things today, and I wanted to say out loud when I said that, hi, I'm Kels and I'm a saboteur-aholic. I'm in recovery and I'll be in recovery for the rest of my life. Because I tend to do that, but inherently I know that that was the only way I could be. Like I knew that I couldn't do it any other way. And I just feel like then I get that saboteur crush come in. And then for me, as you said, it was the only way I could cope or deal with stuff. Like I know that it's really inherently, but then I get like those saboteurs come back and I'm like, no, that's just weird. That was such a strange thing to do. Like what other people would have said to me from my past. So it's really interesting that you said that, because I know it and I've got to stop myself. And then I'm like, oh, there's little saboteurs, they come.
It's a practice, right? And that's actually probably how you survived as a kid too, because you've got to make sense. Why are my parents being mean to me? What do you think that little girl was saying? Why are they being mean to me?
I'm not worthy. I must be a terrible kid, like constantly, like all the time. Yeah.
So you can actually remember today you said, oh, that's interesting.
I'm feeling like I'm going to cry. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I always give everyone permission to cry, because it means that you're healing, right? A lot of people don't recall that they said that, but they did say it, and that controls their life now. So as a child, you were doing everything you could to survive. First, you were talking negatively to yourself, saying, this is my fault and I'm bad. And secondly, you're like, but I can't feel anything, so I'm going to press it down. it was actually a survival thing for you because your parents, you've got two real needs as a child, attachment, because if you're not attached to them, you're going to die. But you also have the need to be yourself and feel your own emotions and feel your gut, because if 1,000 years ago, a lion approaches and you don't feel your gut and you're like, oh, this isn't dangerous, you'd be dead, right? So for you, you had to change who you were as a person. And that's really, really tough. Looking at your ex-husband to answer a question is not being your authentic self, right? And that's very, very stressful. But what's the alternative? The alternative is you lose attachment. And because your mind doesn't know the difference between you as a 40-year-old and a 6-year-old, you're like, I may die in my head subconsciously. You're not saying this out loud. So, wow, that's some really interesting stuff, Kels.
Yeah, that's huge. Like, I do these little things to get myself in such a good state because I don't wake up naturally like how happy. All the stuff comes into my brain. But I really wanted to come in with such a positive mindset with this. I did all the things, but I still gave myself grace. Like, I probably will cry. I don't know. Let's see. And of course,
that's good. You got to give yourself grace. So, Kels, are you enough? Are you worthy?
Oh, heck yeah. I absolutely know that inherently that I am.
Yes.
But I struggle with it constantly. But I'm like a little warrior within myself, like fighting that. Like, you can even see, if you remember the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, I feel like I'm like the pink one, just like fighting off the little monsters and stuff. Because I know they'll keep coming up. Those limiting beliefs were so ingrained with me. And so much is coming up, even more recently, that I am so empowered and I feel so good about myself. They're coming out of the woodwork and I'm like, I feel like a little like magical warrior, like, psh, psh, like I'm going to fight you because I know in my heart and soul. And that's why I was so miserable, because I was trying to, what do we say in New Zealand? Like hide my light under a bushel or whatever that saying is. No more.
Yeah. So you just stated a fact. The truth is you are enough. You always were enough. Mm-hmm. And you always will be enough. You were made to feel as a child that you weren't enough, right? But it was that true?
Yeah.
Was that ever you? No, right? No. You were always enough. So just catch yourself. The real magic on how you unlock this, you've got to get yourself in the state of whatever it is that you want to change. So let's just say negative self-talk is something you want to change. So I would bring you to a point where, hey, you're talking in a situation where you're negative self-talking. And we'd say, why is that? And you'd say, well, because no matter what I do, it's never good enough. And then I would ask you, well, Kels, where in your life did you do something where you were good enough? Let me ask you that question now. Where in your life have you done something where you were good enough?
Oh gosh, constantly with my kids, I think.
Can you give me an example?
Well, I mean, there's a lot going on in my world right now. And I was listening to those self-limiting beliefs and believing that it was, I'm the bad one, I'm a terrible mom, I'm like my mom, all those things. And there was something in me that almost gave up. It got really dark. I'm not going to say I felt really like the kids would be almost better off without me, right? Like I must be just terrible. But there's something in me that was like, I can't just give up. I always got up. I always did the thing. I'm now sharing with them about my journey, my mental health journey. I'm not trying to control them. I'm trying to give them the space. And even if it's not that they don't want me right now, they might want somebody else to talk to. I always give them the freedom. I just feel like I'm just being and loving on them. Like I love and hug them all the time. And I'm so proud of that because I didn't have that. My mom never hugged me. She couldn't say she loved me. I'm always saying that. So I know I'm not her and I feel it and it's true. I even sometimes look around and go, oh my God, these are mine. Like I helped with that and I feel proud all over again. And then I see that awesome kids and young people that they're becoming. I know I'm a part of that. That makes me worthy.
Heck yeah. So you just gave an example of when you were worthy, right? That you did something right. Was there a time in your life where you said, I can't do anything right? And then I'm the
good. Yeah.
Okay. So what does it feel like for your mind to hold those two completely conflicting thoughts? I'm not worthy and I can't do enough, but yet I am worthy and I do enough for my kids. How does that feel to you to hold those completely conflicting thoughts?
It just feels so strong that one was such a lie.
Yeah.
Like it was such a lie. And I feel like saying, oh my God, like once again, the ridiculousness of feeling so bad, so unworthy, it just feels like something I cannot absolutely hold on to now. As I said, these little saboteurs come in. I'm like, whatever. Like I see you, I hear you, but I am not you.
Yes.
I know who I am. And for me, physiology is so important. When I'm feeling not in alignment with my true self, it's yucky. That's when I'm like yelling, mad at somebody, being a dick, if I can say that. If I'm like that, that's not me. I will go, why am I doing that? And all the stuff from the past comes in, I can blame that. But I know I need to process that, what I need to work on when that stuff comes up. When I'm feeling in true life, I'm like, sit a different way. I feel calm that all that frenetic energy of that sad person that I was is there, but it's not me anymore. It just dissipates.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't sit with those two in the same space at the same time anymore. Like,
yeah, because one's true and one's false, right? So back to the negative self-talk, your negative self-talking, which creates negativity in your life. Why are you doing that? Because it's keeping you from feeling the I'm not enough. But the I'm not enough, you've already given one time, and you could probably give me 100 times in your life where you were enough and you did something. So when your mind can see that, oh, there's something wrong here because these two thoughts can't be held in my head at the same time, what will happen is your brain will take over and be like, no, I am worthy. And when that happens, then your negative self-talk will. So anyway, great stuff. Thank you for sharing that. So tell us about this book that you're working on.
Okay. So this book I'm working on, I'm co-authoring with a group of such amazing individuals. Like, I'm so blessed even to just be around these people. They're so inspiring. And I am worthy to be around them. Don't catch me saying anything negative there, Brad. But it's just such, it came into my life at such a wonderful time. We're calling it Manifesting Magical Moments, and it's embracing the extraordinary in the everyday life, which I just love, because you don't have to have the picture-perfect life to have those little moments. So this book that I'm co-authoring, I'm starting to write. Like, we've got a due date, and I can't actually remember off the top of my head the due date. The summer solstice, whatever that date that is, it's just out of my head. But summer solstice, so there you go. And I'm working
on July, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. One of those, yes. I don't know. But it's just about those little moments that I've experienced magic, and they aren't like, even writing this book, as amazing as it is, it's a little pieces that I can see throughout my life that have been those wonderful magical moments that I feel like I've manifested because I was that in the dark, seeing that tiny little fragment of light, holding on such hope and such positivity, even in amongst the darkness, that these little things pop up. And probably manifesting like this home that I'm in now, like I had no money and I bought a house, like, I don't know, to just noticing when my daughter, who wasn't speaking to me for a little bit, suddenly was like lying next to me, grabbed my hand. Oh, I've got chills. Aww. And putting it to my shoulder. Those are magical moments, huge and smaller. So it's all those little things. And what an opportunity for me to share those experiences with others. Like, I cannot wait for it to be released. I'm just writing away. Even this morning, I was like, I've got to get up and do those things. I'm like, nah, I'm on my phone typing away with my thumbs and I don't know what I'm doing, but having fun, just letting it out. It's such a precious experience.
That's awesome. Yeah, everything in your life, Kels, that you may feel regretful for or feel bad, whatever it is, like, none of this stuff is your fault. And I'm speaking to the entire audience, whether you drink too much, eat too much, you have depression, anxiety, it's not your fault. It's just your mind trying to protect you from what it perceives as worse. So I think you've done a phenomenal job. This is a lifelong journey, right?
Yep.
But I think we can make some massive shifts. And what we talked about earlier, just give that a lot of thought about how you weren't enough and just think about all the times you were enough. And then maybe that will really shift something inside of you. I worked with a client, I just was on his podcast like an hour ago. He came to me and he said, Brad, all I want from you is if I can turn the negative self-talk from a 0 to 10 scale, from 11 to an 8. He's like, it'd be worth the money I pay you. And here we are a year later, an hour ago, I said, where are you at on that scale? He says, a 0. He goes, I never talk negatively to myself. And it's the same thing. We just went back and we figured out where in his childhood did he have these stressful times where control was taken from him, and what was the meaning, right? You know this, like, you consciously know, you said, my parents must be mean because I'm no good, I'm not worthy. But we know that's not true. That was your parents' issue from how they were raised and how their parents were raised, right? So great stuff. So as we close here, Kels, you also do Reiki. You're a Reiki master teacher. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Goodness, I love that. And that once again came, it sparked when my dad passed away. I kept getting all these recurring conversations or seeing things about Reiki. I didn't even know what Reiki was back then. Like, I was like, I don't know what Reiki is. It's the most beautiful thing. It's just life force energy that, as a Reiki master teacher, I am the conduit to give out to others and to myself. So it was just this great way. It feels like magic. Like, I hold some magic in my hands or in my thought. You can do Reiki through your eyes. There's all sorts of ways. But it's just Of course I was going to find Reiki, or Reiki was going to find me. I've always believed in the magic of life. So when that came to me and I had the opportunity to learn it from a wonderful lady, Denise, and I learned it really quickly. I did level one, level two, and level three really fast. She was like, whoa, okay, do you want to take a moment? I was like, why? I'm ready for this. And as soon as I gave Reiki to my very first person, I just thought, this is just so beautiful. This is how I can give back without really like, what am I good at? What am I like, all those negative things, like I'm not good at anything. I can do Reiki, and I never once had a disbelief in myself of my ability, because I knew it was like a higher thing, like life force energy, right? Like I didn't make it, but I can be a beautiful conduit for it. So I brought that into my life, and yes, for a period of time, I blocked it, but it's back and my kids are wanting it again. My daughter the other day said, Mom, can you give me Reiki on her shoulder? I was like, oh, yes, yes, I will. I was so freaking excited. I can't even explain it. And I even taught my girls to level one Reiki when they were just little, and I'd love to embrace that more with more kids. That was a really special thing.
So it's healing from a distance, right?
Yeah. Well, no, you can do in-person Reiki, but I've actually chosen to channel it more distance Reiki so I can reach a wider community. I'm actually giving Reiki to a lot of people in New Zealand at the moment, which is, oh, my homeland. And not all of them are Kiwi. Funny thing is, some Americans who live over there have come to me, and I'm an American. It's, yeah, I love the universe for that. It's kind of funny. But yeah, just to be back and doing that, I've got my Facebook group up again. It kind of been dormant for a while, and it's just like more people are coming, like asking about it. It's just such a beautiful healing energy that I needed for myself. Like I needed to top myself up with gas, and Reiki is just such a beautiful way to be able to do that.
Love
really
it.
Inspired.
10 years ago, I thought that was such like woo-woo stuff. And now I completely believe, and I believe we're all energy and that we're all connected. Even from around the world, we're still all connected. Not yeah. Everyone knows these self-limiting beliefs like you did. Like you can recall that you had as a child these thoughts around, I'm not good enough. If you're sitting here and you're wondering if you have these, you can figure out in a 3-minute quiz. It's only 12 questions. Go to bradchandler.com/quiz. Take the self-love quiz and see where you stand, because all change begins with awareness. And if you don't have an awareness of what's driving you, there's no way you're going to change it. So, Kels, how can people reach you if they want to connect with you?
Well, you can reach me on Facebook. I'm Kels Morris Dale. And you could also look for my Soul Hug Reiki Facebook group. I am on Instagram, but it's easier just to find me on Facebook.
And that's kelly.morrison.374, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm very confusing. I call myself Kels a Kiwi, Kels Morris Dale, Kelly Morrison. You'll find me.
The lady with many names. We'll put it in the show notes as well. Kels, thanks for coming on. And as I wrap up here, I just wanted to share that I'm on a mission to reach 1 million people and help them transform their lives. So I need your help. So please, if you like this show, please rate it, review it, send it to your friend, whatever you can do to help promote it. And until next time, love heals all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.